I want to just walk through specifically some things coming out of what I learned on sabbatical from Psalm 23. You don't need to stand for this, but Psalm 23, many of you know, is the first psalm I memorized when I was a little boy at a Mennonite vacation Bible school. The King James Version, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The shepherd's psalm about our God who identifies as a shepherd. He restores my soul. Very simply, three things this morning from Psalm 23. He restores my soul. First, our souls, and I'm talking Christians, our souls need ongoing restoration. We do. Our souls need to be restored on an ongoing basis. I'm just talking to you just for Christians. This is throughout Scripture. Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O God. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me." There it is. Psalm 51, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." In Galatians, Paul says in the New Testament, he says to the Galatians, "What has happened to all your joy?" He's speaking to Christians, and he asks them, what's wrong with your joy? Sometimes people say, you know, Christians may lose their happiness. Happiness is based on circumstances, but Christians should, you know, Christians never lose their joy. And I'm like, I do sometimes. Why would Paul say to the Galatians, "What has happened to all your joy?" We need to be restored. Like sheep, we lose our way quickly and we get into all kinds of predicaments. And sheep won't last long without a place of refuge, safety, and restoration. There's realities of life, like I just named, griefs, there's disappointments, there's betrayals, there are mistakes that we make. There are realities of our stories, what we carry with us throughout our life, our experiences. Several times this summer, I was able to gather with some men, different groups of men from different contexts in my life, and just get some good face time with them in groups of one, two, or three. One of those gatherings had a couple brothers with me, and we went around each one, and we just said, what are the thoughts, what are the ruminations of your heart kind of below the surface that are going on for you right now? And I always use the analogy of an iceberg. Iceberg, you can see about 15% of an iceberg, but 85% of it is under the surface. And so when we come on Sunday morning, all we usually see is the 15%. But just let's stop and let's ask each other, what kind of things are going on under the surface that are just, what kind of ruminations are going on in your heart? What's in, you know this phrase, what's in the crock pot of your heart and your mind? What aromas are filling the room like that? And it was good. All three of us were able to identify just significant lies that we believe about ourselves that are not in accordance with Scripture. Not in accordance with Scripture. Another couple guys I got together with last weekend, and we knew each other years ago in the context of our stories and our experiences growing up. And we were just able to ask that question to each one. How are you carrying your story around with you right now? We all carry our stories. How is it? Is it dragging you down? Are you pretending that it's not there? How are you carrying your story? We need to be in each other's lives to be restored. What good is it? One commentator said, what good is it to have green pastures but have a soul that's black with sin? What good are still waters if your heart is in constant turmoil? The word here, Psalm 23:3, he restores my soul, is closely associated with the word repentance. It's not exactly the same word, but it's a very similar word. And what it means is there's a change of direction. Literally, it means he turns it around. The Lord is my shepherd. He turns my life around. He restores, he turns my soul around. And Christians need to, throughout their life, have their soul turned around and restored. It's not a restoration so that I can do my own thing, as if I'm going down a highway and God is sort of the gas station or the pit stop. I pull off and get refueled, and then I can do what I want to do again. But the restoration, the renewal, is in God himself. Augustine is the one who said, speaking of the Lord, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. That's where the rest comes from. That's where the restoration comes from. So our souls need ongoing restoration. Second thing about this verse, he restores my soul. We have a God, the God of the Bible, who restores souls. Our God is the God who restores souls. He doesn't save you and say, now, good, you're done. Get your act together and go on. He is the God who constantly is restoring his people. He restores souls. In the New Testament, Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's not just physical rest. That soul rest is found in Jesus, the God who restores. In 1 Peter 5:10, he writes, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you. Our God restores souls. You can't say that about Muhammad. Our God restores souls, truly does. He's concerned with your souls, and he wants to restore it, to turn it around in him. And the third thing is, I just want to talk practically a little bit about how this restoration happens. If you've been here at all for any period of time, perhaps there'll be nothing new here, but I'm praying the Holy Spirit will make it new if it's gotten old for us. Some of the ways that this happens practically are already alluded to in some of the passages I just read. Psalm 51, cast me not away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. How is your soul restored? Being near to God. Now, God is everywhere, of course, but what I'm talking about is intimacy with God, and intimacy I defined as nearness and dearness and oneness with him. It's taking time away. It's taking time with him is how your soul is restored, being with him. 1 Peter 5, Jesus is called the shepherd and overseer of our souls. I'm a big fan of Spurgeon in his Treasuries of David on Psalm 23. I hope I marked it. Hang on. I'm going to give you the paraphrase of Spurgeon. It's really small print. There's no pictures in this thing, okay? Spurgeon basically says about Psalm 23:3, he says, pastors cannot restore your soul. Jesus restores your soul. Jesus is the overseer of your soul. Jesus is the shepherd of your soul. If you need restoration, you need to go to Jesus. So that's the limitation. Elders, pastors, deacons can't restore. We can love you and serve you and point you. But as I think I mentioned, it may have been at the staff Christmas party last year, one of the things I learned that was really moved me in terms of my whole view of ministry about six or seven years ago, was realizing that when someone's in the hospital or someone is dying, that I need to get there, but Jesus is already there. Jesus is there before me. If I don't get there in time before they die or before they go into service, Jesus is already with them. I'm not saying that's not important then, that we don't go there for people who are sick or dying or struggling. We do. It is important. But Jesus is the Savior and the Shepherd and the Overseer of souls. And so as your pastor, I would just say, go to him for that restoration. Go to him regularly. Your soul needs to be restored. It's what the Reformers called the means of grace. The means of grace. It's not how you're saved, okay? But the means of grace is how you're just experiencing that salvation on a regular basis, one of which is prayer. Prayer is essentially communion with God. So it may not be you on your knees with your hands folded. Sometimes it might be that. But it's communion with God. I personally find it much easier to pray with my Bible open, and I can pray through Scripture. But prayer is what's needed. The biggest practical adversary I have in my life when it comes to prayer, right here, doom scrolling. Man, believers, watch what happens in your life when you commune with God and you fellowship with God and you get this restoration that begins to happen. Reminders of who he is and who you are and his plan for you and his calling for you. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. That's why I just said, like, you need to be in the Word, just time with him and his Word. Daily communion with God is what we need. And it's what our neighbors need. Our neighbors will not be blessed. Our neighbors will not hear the gospel if we're not in communion with God. Now you might say, what? All I'm saying is walking with God in this communion with him, being restored, it will overflow. It can't help not overflow to others. Your house will be blessed. Your marriage will be blessed. Your kids will be blessed as you're in the Word. What also keeps people from being in the Word often, I believe, is they feel like, well, I'm a hypocrite. I just blew up at my kids and now I'm reading the Word. Well, it all depends on how you do it. I wouldn't beat your kids up with the Word. Don't do that. But you need to model to your kids. I need this. I need this. It's not like I've got it together, but I need this to guide my life. Our connection with God, our daily walk, is essential to reaching a lost city called Sarasota. I'll be talking more with the elders about this at our meeting later this month, but we're really thinking through how to do outreach as a church. This fall, October 30th, Will Graham is doing a crusade in Sarasota. Are any of you aware of that? Will Graham's coming. I was saved at one of his grandfather's crusade, Billy Graham crusade. I grew up my whole life going to church. I believed I was a Christian. I wasn't as bad as the other people. I didn't sleep around in high school, and I didn't smoke pot. I thought I was a Christian because I went to church. And I went to this Billy Graham crusade, and very clearly it was laid out. And here's how I'd put it in the context of this sermon. Most people think they're born, and then if they just live their life, everything's fine, unless they do something bad. The truth is, you're not born restored to God. You're born needing restoration with God. The scripture says you're born an enemy of God, and you need to be restored to him. That's what the scripture says. So I remember thinking, I'm fine. I've gone to church my whole life. And this man gets up and says, no, actually, the scripture says that when you're born because of your sin, you deserve judgment in hell. That's what you deserve. But God has provided a way for you to escape that through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you place your faith in Christ, he makes you born again. He begins to restore your soul in that regard. He sets you on a new track of life. And you can know for certain that you're going to heaven when you die. I thought, that's arrogant. It's arrogant for any Christian. This is what I was thinking back then. It's arrogant for any Christian to say, I know for sure when I die, I'm going to heaven. And then I realized that's what the scripture teaches. Not that it's arrogant, but that you can know for sure. And in fact, if the scripture says, if God says, you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die and not to hell or judgment, you can know for sure through trusting in my son, Jesus Christ. What's arrogant is to say to God, I don't think so. That's arrogance right there. But it's humility to receive that and to say, I know I want to go to heaven and I want to follow God, and I'm giving up my life now to follow him in faith. I'm entrusting my life to him. If you haven't made that decision, if you haven't done that, I want to call you this morning to do that. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to come forward. You can, right where you are, right now, say, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I've broken your law, that I deserve judgment. Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of sinners, that he died on the cross for my sins. And then confess that he is who he says he is and that you want to follow him the rest of your life. The scripture says it is God who makes us born again, not us. It's not something that we can do. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that this morning. I'll close with this before we go to the Lord's table. 1 Peter 2. He writes, he himself bore our sins on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are the restoring God, that you are the God who can make streams flow in a desert, that you are God who can make crippled men run, deaf men hear, mute men speak, that you are that kind of God. Work your salvation, God, in the hearts of any here who do not know you. And for the rest of us who do know you, work your restoration, Father. We are a people who need to be revived, restored, returned again. Lord, I pray your blessing as you prepare us to receive from your table this morning. We come in faith. Would you meet us here, as this is one of the sacraments, a means of grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
He restoreth my soul. I pray that your soul has been restored and will be continuing to be restored today. Maybe we all ought to meditate on Psalm 23 again. I'm grateful that Pastor Ken and Amy have had a time away. They've been restored. May we be restored likewise. Now receive his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.